Middle of the afternoon, the Dreamliner is up, and the birthday boy is on. Tom, happy birthday.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. I haven't had much time to think about it today.
I saw a picture of the cake they gave you at Channel 9. It's a weather-related theme.
I know.
And it's based on the degrees of tornadoes, right?
Yes. I gather my age, actually. They've modified the enhanced Fujita scale to correspond with my age. So I'm an EF4 now, and when I hit 70, it goes to EF5 on this.
And that's the final level.
Yes.
Beyond that, who knows?
I know. Yeah, well, you know, that's the highest level intensity storm you can have, or tornado. Yeah, that cake came from Mr. Lewis, my colleague here at WGN, and I guess we're going to show it on the 5 o'clock news or something like that. But I'll tell you, I've been busy with this weather. I haven't had much time to think about it.
Well, you got other shows calling you. They're passing you around like, I don't know, Lazy Susan.
I know. I was on with S&M earlier, and so we did a little hit there.
Don't they know that you're my biatch?
I know.
Huh?
I know.
Who do I have to talk to here?
Gary, you start something good, it catches on, you know? So, by the way, I got a kick out of that comment about the guy with the forklift and the vending machine.
How about
machine.
That?
Isn't that something?
How many times has that happened to you?
Many
where
times.
That spiral goes around, yeah, and then it stops and you're shaking,
yeah,
it. And
oh, yeah. And you know, these things have grown so, they're such behemoths anymore, these vending machines, because, you know, they practically brew you coffee, cook dinner for you, and all the rest of this kind of stuff, so you can't rattle them the way you used to. But we have one here, and it's fascinating. I'm sure the guy who created this is probably undergoing
treatment.
There's
your stomach,
somewhere.
Tom.
Yeah, there it goes again.
Yeah.
But have you ever watched the ones with those little arms that come over and they catch the bottle? And what happens at our machine here is the bottle doesn't fall all the way out of the shelf. So you have to bump the machine a little bit, and then it'll kind of fall into that little cup that then it carries over and dispenses it to you.
They should have the same design for candy machines that they have for ATMs. That money never seems to get stuck in the shoe,
isn't
right?
Isn't that the truth? You know, they never miscount. At least I've never heard of a case like that. And yet these things seem to have their issues. I know.
And I have another idea where they should use that little spiral thing in the back of armored trucks, because if you put the money in there, it will never fall out the back.
Well, that's
when the door
idea.
Flies open.
Yeah.
Because those things, that spiral holds on.
That it does indeed.
How does that happen? I don't know. I've said it many times. About once a year, armored truck, back doors fly open, money,
yeah,
goes out the back, people pull over, start to grab and run.
I know. You remember when we started, years ago in this business, the vending machines, occasionally something would get stuck and you could reach up into the thing, but they got wise to that.
Oh, yeah.
So
because everybody would be grabbing stuff.
Right. So you can't even do that anymore, even when you legitimately have something stuck in there, you know. So
at this one radio station, it would happen often, and then there was a little sign-up sheet attached to the machine, and
right,
you put your name, hey, I lost,
right,
money on a Kit Kat bar, and then they'd reimburse you when the guy came in to fill the machine.
A week later, yeah, I know.
I wonder how many people just took advantage of that, didn't lose any money, but thought, oh, they seem to reimburse, I'll just sign up.
Yeah, I've often wondered that myself.
This is the same place where my Bible was stolen, so I figured a lot of people there were ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Tom, I know we've got something coming. And
we do.
What did I see here? We'll talk about it right after I take care of some stuff. Texas hooker may lead to blizzard tornadoes across the U.S. You will have all the deets.
Yes.
Coming up immediately after these on the Super G. Tom, let me grab this call, and then we'll get into all of that you have
all
about
right.
this weather. David is on. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir.
Good. My question is for Tom. I want to know if he knows what a psychrometer sling is.
A sling psychrometer. I do indeed. That's
an instrument. Half vermouth and orange juice.
It does sound like a drink, doesn't it? I'll have a sling psychrometer, although you'd have a hard time drinking that. What it is it's a metal plate on which two little thermometers are posted. And you put a little wet wick over one, and you sling it through the air for about 3 to 5 minutes, and then you compare the thermometer readings, the one with the wick on it that's been wet and the other one that's dry, and it's based upon the evaporation of the moisture from that wick. That'll cool that thermometer reading down, and the degree of spread between them, you can go to a psychometric table and figure out what the humidity is from that, or the dew point, things like that. That's one of the first weather instruments I owned as a kid.
Well, very good, because I used that instrument in back in 1978 when I was in the Navy.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I took, every 4 hours we were required to take weather observations.
Sure.
And cloud cover, and I think that was probably before the weathermen had satellites to look at, but I was kind of amazed at that little tool there. It was, it was exact like you described, the two thermometers, and we had to wet one wick and sling it around in the air, and then got the relative humidity.
How about that? How long did you do that?
Oh, about 4 years.
Wow,
that's a long time to be swinging that wet wick. I can see little Tom Skillion in his bedroom and his mother calling up for dinner. What are you doing up there, Tom? I'm wetting my wick.
I'm slinging my thermometer.
Yes, he would be up there doing that.
Well, you had to be careful of those things, too. Did you ever break the thermometer bulbs on?
Oh, sure, and then push the mercury around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was hours of fun.
I know, and you had to be careful of that because you could easily break the thermometer, and you had those balls of mercury going on.
Yeah, we didn't know they were harmful.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything back then.
No, that's right.
A Texas hooker is about to cause a lot of headaches, the relatively infrequent weather phenomenon that also goes by the name panhandle hook.
That's
or
correct.
Hooker
yeah.
will affect millions of people tonight.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know, I called it a panhandle hooker one time when I was working up in Madison, and Gary Bender was our sportscaster. He was the play-by-play guy down here for the Bears for a while, and he dropped out of his chair across the set from me on the TV set. He said, "I can't believe you said that." But that's, they're called panhandle hooks. And it's a low that drops down to the panhandle and then swings northward into the Midwest. And that's exactly what's coming through here. And it's deepening quickly. So hard to believe as it is now with zero visibility going over part of the area that in fog, that we're going to be hit by high winds in just a matter of hours. And these winds are going to roar tonight, 50 miles an hour. They'll stay windy through tomorrow. So we're getting into the backwash. And we're going to have a warm front go through here. We're probably going to poke up to the low 50s early tonight. And after spending the day in the 30s, because we're going to get a warm front to go through, then immediately a cold front comes in and the high winds come in right after that. So we'll go over to flurries by morning and see a sun cloud mix with flurries, windy, colder tomorrow. 52 or so this evening, falling to 31 by morning and mid-30s tomorrow. Mid-30s on Saturday, 20s on Sunday, and that cold air will tighten its grip next week.
Yeah, I saw on your weather page, is it, Wednesday, Thursday, it's going to be below zero.
Yeah, there's some, this. We're going to get yet another late season low by the polar vortex to come down unless something changes between now and then. Now that we've got longer days now, so it won't be quite as extreme as that thing a month ago. But, yeah, it's the winter pattern that keeps on giving. So this upper air high pressure is reforming over Alaska, and it's buckling the jet there, and that'll come crashing into the lower 48 with much below normal temperatures. The 6 to 10-day period is supposed to average over 23 degrees below normal here.
And the winds tonight, I saw last night
really
on the weather
windy.
Forecast, I think you said 50-mile-an-hour winds tonight.
Yeah, we could have some gusts approaching 60 miles an hour. So what we're going to do is once this this little warm front gets through and the front comes in, we marry the jet stream winds above with the low-level winds. And, boy, when that happens, those winds roar. So you've got a southwest or a southern exposure window. It's going to be rattling tonight as that takes place.
Well, we needed this rain because everything needs a good scrubbing. We got some of the gree-gree off with this rain, which is nice.
Well, the only thing is, Gary, we've washed all the road chemicals off. So
if we go
below freezing tonight, you're going to get some icing on some of these untreated surfaces. So
almost every street in Chicago is impassable with potholes.
Yeah.
Almost every street.
I know.
It's pick one.
Terrible.
Every street has at least 500 potholes.
You're right.
And I don't know what their plan is when they can start repairing them, if they can get this done in any efficient amount of time.
Well,
because I don't think they have the crews. They're going to probably try to have the same guys working on this.
Six months. The problem is, Gary, no sense getting too serious about it yet because it isn't over yet. So we may have a couple more snows before this is done.
Kevin's got something on his mind. Hey, Kev.
Hey, Garrett. Hey, Tom. Great to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you.
I have a quick question for Tom, and I don't know if there's any truth to this. Do we have any weather satellites, or are we using other countries? A friend of mine told me that NASA stopped their program, and we don't have any more weather satellites. Is it true?
No, it's not. I'll tell you what he was talking about. There was concern that they didn't re-up some of these. They take about 5 years to build these things. There's a lot of planning and pre-production that's done, and they've got to approve funds for that ahead of time, and they've been slow to do that. So there was fear that some of these satellites would drop out of service after their useful life, and we'd have to borrow some satellites from somebody else. As yet, that's not happened, but we still have GOES up there, the two geosynchronous satellites, and there's another one that's a backup geosynchronous that's up there, and we have NASA satellites, polar orbiting, low altitude ones that take pictures. So we got a nice supply of satellites. Hopefully, they'll re-up these other satellites before they go out of service, because 98% of the data that goes into our computer models comes off these satellites now, and we're going to lose forecast accuracy if they let these things go.
Well, Gary, I thank you for taking my call. Tom, thank you, and have
sure.
a nice night.
You too.
Thank you, Kevin. Okay, well, I can't imagine if I owned an airline right now, all my hair would be pulled out after the last 3 months. You got zero visibility. I'm sure there's all kinds of cancellations
at
the airports.
One thing is, Gary, right now the visibility is 2 miles at O'Hare. Now, Midway's just gone down to a half a mile. They were at a mile and a half, so it really varies where you are. It's zero visibility at Lansing, Valparaiso, Kankakee, Joliet, Morris, and Peru. Zero at DeKalb now. A half a mile at Aurora, 1 mile Bartlett, and 0.3 mile Waukegan, Kenosha. So those are the visibilities, but the airports, the big ones, had been doing all right till Midway just went down to a half a mile.
Yeah, but
so.
Add this day in time to all the other miserable days, and this is just the airline industry. The economy in general has to be beat to a pulp in the last 3 months.
Oh, tell me about it.
Or is it beaten to a pulp?
Yeah.
One of those.
I know
either
what you're
one.
Saying.
It still applies.
Yeah, it's true. It costs money when we have these weather anomalies. Yeah.
So this weather's going to, and let me play something for you, Tom.
Yeah.
Roar.
That's what it's gonna do. Yeah,
I've got my toupee already bungeed down.
Yeah,
I'm ready for it.
I'd super glue it on tonight, Gary, because it's gonna go places.
Okay, well, we'll get the update at 6.
We will.
And when does the wind kick in?
Should be in the next 2 to 3 hours. So it's coming. It's amazing it's as quiet as it is now that we have fog forming and that we're just hours away from 50 mile per hour wind gusts. But that's the story.
Why is God punishing us, Tom?
Gary,
did you hear the mayor last night?
He
said to Mother Nature, if I ever see you, I'm going to poke you with one of my good fingers.
I know.
He threatened Mother Nature last night. Who is this guy?
No. We must have done something real wrong.
No, really. He directed his comments right. I want to just say to Mother Nature, if you come around here, I will poke you with one of my good fingers. I swear to God. Okay, Rob, just fill some potholes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, Gary.
WGN. GM on GN. Looking at Tom's weather page in the Tribune. Next Wednesday, a high of 13, low 6 below. What did we do to deserve this? Hey, Steve, that story about the Amber Alert. Steve was walking by my office, and all this noise started to happen. And nobody knew what it was initially, and then he realized it was his phone.
Yeah, I'm looking around at everyone else like, would you someone turn that off?
And it's your phone. It's an Amber Alert because of the story you had in your newscast that kid was in the back seat of the car sleeping. What's going on
here?
Yeah,
sleeping. He was in Park Ridge and someone stole the car and drove off with him.
Why was there nobody else in the car?
Well, I think the mom was nearby and run in the house or something like that.
Okay, no. That's a fail. That's what I call a fail.
I used to do that with my kids all the time.
Okay, well, DCFS needs to talk to you.
And they found the boy in the car in Skokie. So he was fine, but we were on, we were doing it, and I'm back by you, and the alert goes off. And then about 2 minutes later, Jim's phone starts going off. And every time, we're still, like we don't learn, looking around, what's that noise?
Did the car, they just abandoned the car, or somebody abandoned it?
Yeah, it looks like it. We haven't heard anything about any arrest yet,
okay.
So.
You can't leave your kid in the car for 10 seconds. I don't know who thinks they can. I know when I was carting my daughter around in the car seat, even if I went into a gas station and could see the car, took the car seat out, brought it in, got my lottery tickets, came back out. There's no way. And you can't do that. That's why, because you got these ne'er-do-wells who jump in and take your car. That has to be a very sick feeling when you come out. You got your kid in the back seat, the car's gone, right?
Jeez.
Now, I was talking to Tom about this vending machine incident in Iowa. This guy put his dollar in for a Twix bar, and it got stuck on that spiral. So he goes and gets a forklift, lifts up the machine and bangs it on the ground six times. He got three candy bars, but he got fired 5 days later and denied unemployment.
Oh.
He got no unemployment. He filed for that and they denied it. I don't know what the issue is there, but I said, why can't they design vending machines like they do ATMs? That always seems to dispense the money. And I got some response via text.
Angry?
On that. No, not necessarily. 24-720 is the number. How would you know how cash is dispensed out of an ATM? You don't use them. That is true. Glad you caught that. I don't have an ATM card, but I've been near people when they are getting money. I'm trying to steal their PIN, and that's what I do. I hang around in the vestibule of a bank, and I kind of pretend like I have some other business, but I have my remote camera, and I hook it up. And you,
and
know
you insert those other things to read the card number.
I exactly do that.
Gary Meyer, identity thief. I know somebody who sees the inside of those machines. Sometimes it tears the living daylights out of some of the money.
It does?
Yeah.
Ooh. Well,
everything can be perfect all the time.
I couldn't think of any other device that seems to dispense things without much problem.
A Pez.
So it should be like a Pez dispenser.
It opens up and just...
It's just funny to me. How long have they had that design with the spiral and it's still out there and seems to be flawed? There's no other way to push a candy bar or pack of gum out of a machine without it getting hung up?
Helper monkey.
I mean, why couldn't you just make a thing...
Get my service pony
and your
to put its big
pony.
Tongue up there and pull it down.
Well, like a bridge. Can't you just push it and then it should just... It should pull out like a drawbridge and then it falls. Why do we have that spiral, like you said?
I don't know. They do have that design, too, where it pushes one and it just falls off.
That seems...
I don't know why they kept the spiral. It says here, I've had an ATM give me $300 more than I requested. The next day, they deducted it from my savings. Oh, yeah, they know what's going on here. Vending machines now take credit cards, 13% on a bag of chips. Not bad, huh? You want to use the credit card, you're going to get dinged. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Gary, you know, he would have been a lot smarter if he would have just used a hammer. It would have created less of a disturbance. And what I do at the place where I work, if a lot of times it doesn't give change, I take the plastic knives that we have in the kitchen there and I just jam them in where you put your money in. And then sooner or later they come in because somebody calls it. They're not, you know, it won't take money.
Let's get back to the use of the hammer. You break the glass?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you have a policy? He just hung up on himself. He knows he's a future felon. Like I said, when I worked at another radio station, that happened semi-often. They had a sign-up sheet. Tell us what you lost. And then when the guy comes in, and they just put the money on your desk, and that's it.
I used to shake it. You could actually push
sometimes
it.
That worked.
Yeah.
But
isn't that when we hear the stories about the vending machine crushing someone to death?
Well, I would push it away from me.
What was that?
There's a soda machine in this building. I won't tell you where it is. Where probably once every 6 weeks, I get a second free soda.
Another felon.
So two fall out.
You have to wait for it, but it happens.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
That's nice. And what are you going to do? You're not going to just leave it there? Just
no,
take it.
No, you can make someone sick.
And here's what they do. They write that off.
Do they?
Yeah, and that's what they do. You don't know what it is, but they do. And they just write it off. It's part of...
doing business.
It's just part of the loss of doing business.
I hope they have a little camera and they're seeing Steve take that extra can for a year or so.
You mean tidying up?
Okay. There we go. Hey, I have to use the blower to maybe get some response for a traffic issue. Leslie has been trying to go through channels, but they... as is typical in this city, I'll write that down.
There are lots of channels.
And then they pretend like they're writing, but you know they're writing in the air, and then they hang up on you.
How did you spell that again?
Yeah. Again, give me that number again. Yeah, I'll get right back to you.
M-E-I?
Yeah, uh-huh. Lower Wacker.
Mm-hmm.
Outbound.
Okay.
They have, and I don't know if this is all day or they pick it up at night or whatever, but...
they do appear to pick it up at night.
In the morning, during rush hour, outbound. Apparently, they are closing this lane, and there's no work going on in the lane. This is all brand new down there. They're closing it to park a truck so they can go in that area next to the river, whatever they're doing there, who knows. And it's a massive backup. It's rush hour, especially when the weather's bad. People have left early or whatever are all going lower because they figure the road is better. And I'm thinking, you can't do this after rush hour. You have to make it inconvenient. And here's the other problem. So everybody pushes to the left lane. And then if there's a left turn person, that blocks that. So you can't even get around that person. It's all backed up. And they don't seem to get it.
Yeah, there is no left turn lane. And it's actually kind of a strange light cycle besides.
Right.
So, yeah, if anybody decides to make a left turn once they've got the barricades up, yeah, the people behind are so jerked around.
They can't start that at 9:30. And there's a guy in a vest, and he's by his truck. And I couldn't do it. I'd feel so bad for people. But, of course, they've had something taken out of their brain. That's how they can do it.
And isn't it around a turn, too? So you're not even expecting that. You're going fast.
Right. People would be able to queue up
right.
in that left lane knowing. But you don't see it until you're around a corner, and then everybody tries to merge. And some people obviously don't like people to merge in front of them.
Yeah.
And it's all that in the morning.
And you can't get any satisfaction?
So far, she's called, and they do that, as the city
does. Hey, why don't you call this person? And I leave messages. And
how many years?
It's probably, and what is probably happening is it's a contractor. So they may have a permit that allows them to block that lane.
But who would issue a permit like that?
Well, once again, sometimes I don't know that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing.
How many years Lower Wacker was closed to redo the whole thing? That should have all been done, whatever it was on the other side of the wall, at the same time.
You people have suffered enough.
Or put in a shoulder.
There's no room.
There's no room.
Well, you couldn't have extended it out?
No, there's absolutely no room.
What are all the homeless people are sleeping?
No, there's no shoulder.
They sleep on the other side.
Right, they're in the business areas by the garages and stuff there.
Oh.
There's no room.
Oh, they're not, there's nothing there?
Nothing. There's nothing there. If you, and they have had some trash bags and stuff, and there's no shoulder, just out in the lane for the most part. Very dangerous. Good design. Good job. 312-981-7200. WGN, 312-981-7200. John, you're on. What's up?
Hey, you were talking about that those barrels on Lower Wacker. I was on there like an hour ago,
and
the traffic wasn't that bad, but I was in the right-hand lane coming around, and that's a blind corner.
Yes.
And the only reason I knew something was going on is because the guy a little bit ahead of me in the left-hand lane hit his brakes, and I came around there, and I got about 2 feet from hitting the barrel.
Yeah, it's very, very bad because of the blind spot, and then you try to merge to the left, and if it's and you didn't go through at rush hour. When it's rush hour, it's a nightmare. But
yeah,
you try to merge in, and now people are going, well, some people don't like to have people merge in front of them. You
right.
understand that. So you got all that nonsense going on, but it's very dangerous, point one, very dangerous.
Yeah, and about that point, too, because you're coming, you're past all the stoplights, and, you know, you're starting to pick up some speed, and, you know, you come around that blind curve, and
there's that big flashing arrow.
So
I just don't understand how things are run in the city sometimes. It's so inefficient. You can do it after rush hour. Give people a break. The weather's been horrendous. People are just trying to get through the city the best way they can. That is a nice point A to point B way to cut through without a lot of lights. And they got to screw that up for us. And it's brand new, so there are no potholes.
Yeah.
But the mayor has threatened Mother Nature. She won't be coming around here anymore pulling her crap. Did you see that last night on the news?
Yeah.
I want to tell Mother Nature, I don't want her coming around here. I don't want her doing this crap anymore. If she does come around here, I'm going to beat her up. That's it. I think he's lost it.
The last thing, we don't need any more bad mojo. Don't be threatening Mother Nature.
But if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I'm very down on closing streets that don't need to be closed. As soon as the tents go up for taste, I'm crazy.
That's next week already.
It's next week. They start setting up for July because
right.
it takes, I don't know, 4 or 5 months to set up 14 tents.
By the way, do you think it'd be that the mayor realizes it would be fruitless to send Mother Nature a dead fish since she's the one who made him that way?
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to get something going where she's going to brighten this whole thing up.
Oh,
well,
boy.
I saw a report on the news yesterday. They claim that they have filled 165,000 potholes.
That's four streets. No, really, every street
that's what they claim
is chewed up. Everyone.
Today, getting on the Eisenhower, there were literally giant pieces of concrete in the middle of the intersection where you would get to turn left and turn right, I had to actually dodge huge pieces of concrete just sitting there.
It's everywhere. Every street in Chicago seems to be chewed up. And this is not the end of it. They're going to keep falling apart as this weather continues.
And when the expressways start falling apart, people start trying to dodge those potholes and don't even pay attention that they're moving into somebody else's.
Yeah, there's a car next to you.
Exactly. Or into oncoming traffic. I got to miss that pothole. Oh, I'm going into a head-on collision.
I mean, they showed a mechanic. You should see the damage that is getting done to some of these cars.
You're not going to get reimbursed. You fill out the form, and then in about 4 or 5 years, you get a check for $40.
It broke the steering column on one car.
Sure.
From underneath.
I mean, it's... You're screwed. Grab it, your ankles. John.
Hey, Gary, how's it going?
Good, sir.
Hey, quick story about the vending machine. Me and a buddy were staying at a hotel. We were on vacation. We snuck over to the vending machine, quietly tipped it on its face, lifted it up, shook it a little bit, tipped it back up, opened it up, took all the candy, all the chips, all the gum, everything out, went back to the room. You know, we were smoking whatever, had the munchies.
Uh-huh.
Good time. Good time.
Good time. Good. All right. Yeah, that's just illegal. Put it down on its face and shake everything out. That's wrong. You little leaguers, don't do that. Michelle?
Actually, it's Cheryl, but anyways.
Well, I don't know. Craig says Michelle on the screen. I'm sorry. Cheryl?
It's Cheryl. It's okay. I think that driving in the city of Chicago this winter could be like a new mogul or a slalom event in the Olympics, and we could all earn gold medals for like trying to avoid potholes.
Right, and your knees are going to hurt like a mogul skier. Even just driving your car, your knees are going to hurt.
It's frightening. And not just the city. Like, some of the suburbs are really, really bad.
I know the suburbs have to be the same. I can only comment on what I see down in the city here. But the suburbs, yeah, same deal.
It's really horrible. So I don't know what we did to make Mother Nature so angry, but, you know, we're sorry for whatever we did.
Okay, we apologize. Now stop.
I know, it's a little
Please,
nuts.
It's over, okay? It's March. A week from Saturday is March. And then, like I said, Tom on his weather page has 6 below for next Thursday.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
Another vortex, whatever the polar.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Vortex is coming back.
Coming back.
Yay.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
You know, good news, bad news. Of course, with all the potholes, you have to drive slower, but more of those speed cameras are coming online. So you won't be able to speed on them.
There's the upside.
There, see?
You won't be getting a speed ticket.
It's nature's speed bump.
Thank you. Hey, Chris.
Hey, buddy. Got a comment on that pothole thing. I do overnight deliveries in the city throughout. And last night I run into these guys up on Clark Street. And I'm watching these guys, and I'm trying to figure out what's the science between what they're doing. They're filling these little... Real shallow holes, these you know, in the ground, but these big craters down the street that'll swallow your Fiat, they're not doing nothing. You're just going around it.
Well, it's easier to fill a little hole. Oh, that hole's so big.
But the big holes, I mean, those are the ones that are they're messing up cars a little tight, you know.
I understand that. I don't know why they wouldn't start with the big holes and go down to the little holes.
Yeah. But I run into them every night, every so often. They were on the north side yesterday between Diversity and Belmont. So
I walk by. Get it in the hole. Get it in the hole.
Yeah.
It's like I'm at a golf tournament. WGN.